light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long.
Hi, and welcome to the Charming Mistakes of My Youth. My name is Susanna Tontensoff. This is the first installment of a new series. The quote is taken from Marcel Proust. I started to tackle recently In Search of Lost Time and the first installment, Swan's Way, has this quote as Proust recalls his childhood in Cambrai. The description struck me not only by its simplicity, but also its visual and universal nature, which is quite lovely. I decided that I would create this show to engage with other artists and see how they relate to their childhood and adolescence through music. So our first guest is Alexandria Hilfiger. She is a painter and jack of many trades, entrepreneur, fashion designer, wonderful cook. So the first song that we have on the show is Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young off the Deja Vu album. And why don't you tell us why this song is important to you and your upbringing as a person? How is it formative?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I should preface this by saying that I have a terrible cold, so if I start coughing or sneezing, please excuse me.
You're excused.
Thank you. Our House is a very, very nostalgic song to me. It brings back the memory of me in the back seat of my parents' car when I was about 3 or 4 years old, driving down the back roads of Connecticut, bored out of my mind because they like to look at houses and go antiquing. And the song, the Deja Vu album, would be playing in the tape deck, I believe, at that time. It was probably about 1988, 89 at the time. And I would always try to find a comfortable spot in the back seat so that the seatbelt wouldn't jam in my side. And the song would be playing Our House, and it would just bring me into a trance. And it brought me right back to this house, this that I had imagined in a field of flowers with a huge stone fireplace, a big kitchen, lots of people in and out, a very cozy, friendly, warm, a stew cooking on the stove, a fire going, beautiful black-eyed Susans in the vases. And I don't really like cats. So it's kind of funny that it mentions cats, but it's an image, this house and this life that Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young are describing in the song is the image that stuck with me all throughout my life. And I feel much closer to that ideal lifestyle now that I moved to Los Angeles from New York. And it's a dream that I hope to one day come true.
Wonderful. So the next song that we have,
yes,
do you want to talk about that?
Sure.
It's You Can Close Your Eyes, so, the live version.
Right. This You Can Close Your Eyes is the live version with James Taylor and Carole King. I decided to use the duet because, A, I love harmonizing. That's one of the reasons why I love Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, is they're harmonizing. James Taylor and Carole King were also two other cornerstones of my youth. And I just thought this was a really beautiful version of You Can Close Your Eyes. And I'll tell you about why this song was significant to me after we listened to a little bit of it.
All right, so let's listen to it. Audience, please bear with me. I'm new to the mission control of K-Chung. So let's
You're doing
try
a good job.
Make it happen. All right, so I'm going to fade down the lyrics. I just lost the playlist, so that's okay. Here it is again. All right, and here we go.
Oh, the sun is surely sinking down, but the moon is slowly rising. So this old world must still be spinning around, and I still love you. So close your eyes, but you can close your eyes, it's all right. I don't know no love songs, and I can't sing the blues anymore. But I can sing this song, and you can sing this song. When I'm gone, it won't be long before another day. We're gonna have a good time, and no one's gonna take that time away. You can stay as long as you like, only close your eyes. You can close your eyes, it's alright. 'Cause I don't know no love songs, I can't sing the blues anymore. how about I can sing this song? And you can sing this song when I'm gone. So
this was actually recorded at the Troubadour, which is a famous venue in LA, and specifically it's known for its great sound as well. So tell us more about why you chose this song and what it means.
When I was writing this playlist for the show, I was kind of going throughout my life in chronological order, and I remember as a kid, I had a little tape deck, and I had little cassettes. And my favorite cassette I had was James Taylor. And I would just go to sleep to his music. They were like lullabies to me. And this song specifically, You Can Close Your Eyes, is a very literal lullaby. And it just was a very self-soothing song for me.
And how old were you?
At that time, I think I was about 8, 9, 10, around there.
And you would listen to it every night?
I would listen to it almost every night. I mean, I remember doing it for a whole summer, over the course of a whole entire summer, and I'd have that tape deck right next to my head, and sometimes I'd flip the tape and listen to it again, and I would just repeat it.
And did you buy the tape, or did somebody give it to you?
I must have found it in my parents' archives.
So this is definitely from your parents' generation. Like, you're very influenced by what they were playing around the house and
absolutely
adopting that.
Absolutely. I was completely raised on classic rock. My parents were flower children of the 60s and 70s, and all I knew then was classic rock, and still all I know now really well is classic rock. And that's, this playlist is a very true description of how far my music knowledge goes.
So I have a very sort of Proustian question for you, because it's his writing is very descriptive and very visual. And all the senses of the smells and sights and sounds of his experience. He wrote a lot of it, maybe all of it, I could be wrong, but from his bed. And the book opens up at the beginning where he can't sleep and he's tossing and turning at night. So could you describe your bedroom as a child and the color of the blanket, the kind of bed, where the window was, the smells of the summer that you're experiencing while listening to the song?
This specific song brings me back to summers in Nantucket. And at that point, we were renting houses. So I think I needed to feel a sense of safety in my bed. And my mom always liked white sheets, like white blankets, white sheets. She felt they were very clean and crisp and fresh. And I remember tossing and turning a lot. And now I do a lot of my work from bed, actually. That's so funny that you said that. It's a very safe place for me to be, very comforting. And it was, and very hot summer nights, sometimes with no air conditioning and the fan going. And all I would want was the feeling of the light white sheet on my skin. And the smell of skin so soft because of the mosquitoes was there, just a very subtle hint of that, and just praying that a new flash of a breeze would drift into the window.
And the salt air.
The salt air, absolutely. The fresh cut grass in Nantucket, and the all of the driveway, most of the driveways are crushed oyster and clam shells. and they have this sea smell, this salty smell to it, and it's this chalky, salty smell, and that would also come through the windows. And the moon, I would always stare at the moon.
And also what you would hear, the waves crashing.
We weren't that close to the beach, but mosquitoes.
Crickets?
I think crickets. I think so. Yeah. It was a very quiet. I remember it being very quiet, and I think that's why I needed the music. Is I needed that sound to drift me to sleep, because when I was a really little girl, even up until I was about 5 years old, my mother totally spoiled me and rocked me to sleep and sang me homemade lullabies. She used to make up. They were so beautiful. To this day, they make me cry when she sings them.
I like that. So, leading into the next song, which to me, when I hear the song, I think of the beach. I don't know if that was the intention of the writer or writers of the song, but I always think of the beach with this. So we'll just play it.
Great.
And most people in the modern Western world know the song, I think.
This one reminds me of the beach also. Yeah. So
it's a beach song, so this is a perfect interlude.
I wonder why.
So here we go. Let's line it up. Line up.
Good.
Treat you unkind.
So, Allie, tell us about the song.
First of all, it was so difficult figuring out which Rolling Stones song to choose because my dad is notorious for being a huge Rolling Stones fan. But this song reminds me of driving with the top down. We had an old Jeep Wrangler, and we used to take the top off and just drive really fast. And my mother likes to blast the music on really loud. And then I remember my uncle driving on the beaches of Nantucket as well during the summers and playing the song really loud. And I just visualized wild feral horses riding along the car with us. And I've always felt a bit like a wild horse myself, I suppose. And it's one of those songs that just makes you feel good. But the lyrics are interesting. You know, the lyrics aren't very warm and cozy necessarily. I also love the song Angie, by the way. It was between these two, Wild Horses and Angie.
Angie reminds me of summer camp.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Because we used to play it in our cabin, and it was a sailing camp on the Outer Banks in North Carolina, where we would sail to these state beaches full of wild horses. So it very much just, listening to the Rolling Stones reminds me of summer camp.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, in the summer and the sea air and sand dunes and just that carefree feeling you have as a young kid or an adolescent.
That's what it makes you feel like, totally carefree. Like you're so immersed in the song and you feel the breeze going through your hair. You feel that freedom, that reckless abandon. That's what it is. It's reckless abandon. And I remember going to a summer camp, and it was a horse summer camp where we had to clean the stables. I was so miserable. It was so hot and smelly and gross, and I wanted to leave so badly. And I think I listened to this song at the summer camp as well. I was about 11 at that time, or 12. But we listened to a lot of Ace of Base at that summer camp.
I listened to Ace of Base at summer camp too.
Oh, it's far from the Rolling Stones. Yeah, they're legendary.
Very, very, very different, but you know, they're Swedish and they can get away with more.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Well, maybe one day we can get in a Jeep, take off the top, and blast this song and relive that memory together. That'd be kind of fun.
Two girls
with long brown hair going for it.
And that's what I love about music, because it really brings back this sense of nostalgia in a way that other sort of pieces of art or literature or culture can't do, because it's just sort of this instantaneous, it can take me to a place and remind me of the time and the sights and the smells. It brings me back to something, and I think music is very powerful for so many people, and you're using the sense of hearing, but it brings back everything else.
It can make you cry so easily too. The tears that come so instantly with some of these songs, it's the emotions, that's the chord, it strikes a lot of chords, that's for sure.
All right, well, so the next song that we have is another Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song called Helplessly Hoping. So we'll cue that up and talk about it afterwards.
Enjoy.
Enjoy, guys.
Waiting a word. trip at the sound of goodbye. Wordlessly watching, he waits by the window and wonders at the empty place inside. Heartlessly helping himself to her bad dreams, he worries, did he hear a goodbye? Or even hello? They are one person, they are two alone, they are three together, they are for each other. Stand by the stairway, you'll see something certain to tell you. Confusion has its cost. Love isn't lying, it's loose in a lady who lingers, saying she is lost and choking on hello. Oh, they are one person, they are two alone, they are three together, they are four each other.
So tell us about that song.
If I had to choose one song to listen to for the rest of my life, it might be this one. And it's a very obscure song from their album, but this song brings me back to when I started painting. I started seriously painting and on a larger scale when I was 15 years old. And this album got me through so many series. It just, if I ever need to feel comforted or feel inspired or feel switched on creatively, I turn it on. And I don't know why. I still cannot understand why I like this song so much.
What do you think about the title of the song, Helplessly Hoping? What does that mean to you?
I've tried to figure out what it means to me. Trust me, I've read the lyrics. I don't know, to be very honest with you. Helplessly hoping.
It's a strange combination of words.
It really is. It's very odd. And the lyrics, I don't even quite understand. I think it's a total subconscious thing for me. I think subconsciously and on a very deep level, I understand it in a way that maybe they didn't even understand. But I cannot consciously tell you what it means to me. It sounds crazy, and it's my favorite song. I don't know. I'm being very honest right now, and it's hilarious. I mean, I laugh at myself thinking, I'm sitting here saying, this is my favorite song, and I don't even know what it means to me. But there's something that words, I can't put words to it. It speaks to my soul in a very private way.
And sometimes we don't need to put words to something. It's a gut feeling, or it's just something that feels right and familiar. It fits, and there's no logical reason why.
Absolutely. And I'm notorious for liking the musical notes of a song and not listening to the lyrics yet and not understanding the lyrics until way later. And I really appreciate the music in this song. I really appreciate the harmonizing, the simplicity, the subtlety. It's a very quiet, subtle song, and I appreciate that.
Great. So the next song is an artist that...
Oh, God.
It's an artist that... It might be his first... His I mean, the solo stuff, it might be the first time played on K-Chung.
I can guarantee. I can guarantee you that I would say about 99.9% of these songs
have been played on K-Chung. Maybe maybe not.
Maybe,
but definitely not this period of this artist's life has not been played.
No.
I'm guessing, right.
The story behind this song explains why I had to choose it. And, you know, we're only going to play part of it. And it's not a terrible song. It's just hilarious. You'll see. Let's play it.
It's not a cool song.
I'm not a cool person by any means. I mean, I've never categorized myself as that. I'm a total nerd, total dork, whatever you want to call it. And I like classic rock.
So here we go. This is definitely not classic rock either, so it's out of the range. But
I don't even know what it is.
Here we go. Sorry, listeners out there. Apparently, we got a text message that my voice was not loud enough, so I'm going to try and speak more audibly into the microphone.
And we closed the door with a loud fan.
And we closed the door where the fan is. So this is it's an experience.
We're working out the glitches.
So, Allie, why don't you tell us about that song?
You know, this is the charming mistakes of my youth. It can also be called the charming mistakes of right now. All right. Well, this song, it's Sting's Fields of Gold album or whatever. And when my parents were going through a very difficult separation, my father and I lived together in New York City, and I was going to high school there, and he was extremely depressed and down. And every morning, he would wake me up to this album, to this specific song, with two yoga mats in the living room and Nag Champa incense lit. And that was the start of our day. We started with Ashtanga yoga every morning at about 6:30 a.m. And my parents are very spiritually and psychically connected. They're still best friends. They're soulmates. I mean, no matter what, they're great. They're awesome people, and they're very psychically connected. And I think my mother was listening to the same album while my father was playing it for me and for us every morning to get him through this hard time. And they didn't even know. Neither of them knew that the other one was playing this song. I'm pretty sure that's how the story goes. I could be mistaken. I'll be corrected later, but I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
I like that. It's very, very, gives me a little bit of chills in this hot, very hot room with no fan now. Tiny fan.
When you're doing Ashtanga yoga with no air conditioning in the summer or even in the winter, you have to turn the heat up a little bit just so your muscles don't cramp up and the sweating. And this room reminds me of how it felt in the middle of the second sun salutation B.
Well, we're definitely not getting any stiff muscles in here.
No.
So the next song we will just start to play, and we'll talk about it after.
It's a still life watercolor of a now late afternoon, as the sun shines through the curtain lace and shadows wash the room. And we sit and drink our coffee, couched in our indifference like shells upon the shore. You can hear the ocean roar in the dangling conversation and the superficial sighs, the borders of our lives. And you read your Emily Dickinson and I my Robert Frost, and we note our place with bookmarkers that measure what we've lost. Like a poem poorly written, we are verses out of rhythm, couplets out of rhyme, in syncopated time. And the dangling conversation and the superficial sighs are the borders of our lives. Yes, we speak of things that matter with words that must be said. Can analysis be worthwhile? Is the theater really dead? And how the room is softly faded, and I only kiss your shadow. I cannot feel your hand. You're a stranger now unto me, lost in the dangling conversation and the superficial sighs in the borders of our lives.
That's such a peaceful song.
So tell us about that.
Well, Simon and Garfunkel were another duo that I listen to very often. It's another harmonizing song, and it reminded me of sitting in the kitchen and watching the woman who cooked for us, Lynn, who is also partially my caregiver in my teens. And she and I would listen to the Simon and Garfunkel albums, and I would dance. I would dance around the kitchen, and it got me through a lot of hard times.
All right, we have 20 minutes left, so we're gonna go straight into the next song. It's definitely different from the rest of the set.
It's more rock and roll.
It's more rock and roll, so here we go.
Wanted a woman, never bargained for you.
Well, this is, I was very into Zeppelin when I was 16. I mean, I got into smoking a lot of pot and having a lot of fun with my friends and just being a little bit reckless, and I needed to let my hair down and rebel. And I did. I mean, this music is what people did in the 60s when they were 16, so I was just repeating history a little bit. And, you know, it's a little bit of a, it's a long song. I don't really like the parts where they go into the humming and the humming, whatever, at the second part of the song, but it's one of those songs where you just like bang your head around. And I was never into like heavy metal or punk. My boyfriend was super into that. That's how he grew up. But like, it's too aggressive for me. This was my hardcore. And I would just go nuts. All the Zeppelin albums, I would just crank up and go nuts with my friends.
Birds singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbirds singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of the dark black night.
Different from Dazed and Confused.
Very different. That was a cover of the Beatles' Blackbird by Sarah McLachlan from the I Am Sam soundtrack, which Sean Penn was in about 10 years ago.
Yeah, with Dakota Fanning. That's
right. And Dakota Fanning's sort of breakout role.
That's right. That was kind of her debut.
That was her debut.
As the most adorable little girl and the most endearing special needs man. I mean, the movie was very touching, and their album was brilliant. I love the I Am Sam album.
Yeah, that was put out by V2 Records, and they got different artists to specifically do the covers of the songs, and they did it very, very well. So it was some of the artists on V2, Stereophonics, they're big in England, and then also other artists like, I think, I'm not a Pearl Jam fan at all, but Eddie Vedder did a great cover. I can't remember what song. The Vines did a good cover, that band from Australia, where it's like, when I wake up early in the morning. They did a great cover. You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
That was a
Eddie
good
Vedder
one too.
Did a beautiful cover, and I'm not a big, I don't like his work in general, but that cover was brilliant.
I would say almost every single song on that album was nailed perfectly, and I didn't even care who sang them. I mean, Sarah McLachlan, come on.
Yeah.
Well, the last song is a little bit. Anyway. Well, this next song that we're going to play is... And we're going to play the whole thing, right?
We're going to play the whole thing because we have the time to do it.
It's a very spiritual, lovely song.
It is. So why don't we just... And it's a classic.
It is a classic.
All right.
Enjoy.
Enjoy, folks.
Satisfied in this simple
Allie, tell us about Simple Man.
Well, a couple of funny things about Lynyrd Skynyrd is that my uncles love to cover Skynyrd songs in their bands, and my one uncle, he tours with them sometimes, and that's kind of fun. We saw them in Woodstock last year, my sister, my boyfriend, and I. That was really cool. And the lyrics of this song, well, here's a charming mistake of my youth for you, were written out on the edge of my senior yearbook page with "All you need is what's in your soul" in boldface letters in the center of the page. And that was it. That was my senior yearbook page. I love this. It rang so true. I mean, all you need is what's in your soul. It's so true. And I was very into that then. I still am, but I don't know if I'd make that my senior yearbook page. But I did.
I love it. I love the song, too. It's my favorite Lynyrd Skynyrd song.
Yeah, it's so southern and funny that it's like Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's kind of random, but it's classic.
It's also kind of words to live by.
Yeah.
I always am struck when I'm listening to the song and the lyrics and what they're really saying. And it's still relatable.
It's
still timeless.
Yeah.
Sweet Home Alabama seems more like a specific time and place.
That's an anthem song for that.
Yeah, for time, that.
Right.
But this is just a much more deeper song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
So we're getting to that bewitching hour. We have one last song. Do you want to talk about that before we put it on?
Yeah.
And end the show?
Yeah, we're going to end the show with a song. I mean, this is... It's a little bit difficult to talk about, but it's something real that happened a few years ago. One of my best and dearest friends tried to take her own life and ended up in a coma for 4 days. And all I could do was to go to this next song by Jewel called "Angel Standing By." And I sang this song myself while listening to it. I'm probably 50 times in a row. It brought me comfort. It brought me faith that there were maybe angels looking out for her. The doctor said that she probably wouldn't wake up without any brain damage, and she's perfectly fine now. She's as sharp as a knife. She's so amazing. And this song really got me through that hard time. And I still sing it, and I still get choked up, but it's a very a lot of these songs are very self-soothing, I've noticed, and that's interesting. I think that children and young people need to figure out how to self-soothe themselves, and it's a great way to do it is through music.
Yeah, music and art, it's a great way to deal with our sometimes very overwhelming human emotions. And it's a way to soften the blow a lot of the time.
Yeah, process.
Which I really appreciate and use a lot to sort of understand some of these very hard things that we experience in life. So with that, we are signing out the charming mistakes of my youth, and apologies for the charming mistakes of my sound. We're learning.
This has been great. Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you for being here. We really christened the show well. And stay tuned in 2 weeks for the next installment. All right. Thanks, folks.
Good night.
Good night.